Donkey, thank you. I want to ask you this morning to preach with me, if that is okay. So, ek wil gou vra, julle moet so vir my net uitskree, wat se werk doen julle? Of, wat denk jy is belangrik? What is important what you're doing at the moment? If you like, oh, I don't have a work, I'm a housewife. Then I'm like, oh my goodness, you do have a work. You have a lot of work. Maar so iets, so is nie net oor, I am the CEO of a multi-million rand corporation. Whatever you do, enig iemand, skree net uit. Anders gaan ek vir jou uitskree, ek gaan raai wat jy doen. He's a camp instructor. There's two camp instructors here. A camp instructor. Okay, ek soek ten minste 10, dan gaan ek preek. Nou 9:44, as iemand gewonder het hoe laat het is. A wat? A boervrou, lekker, a farm wife, farm woman, farm wife, no, farm woman, die boer self. She's a boer, she's a farmer, she rides a quad bike, that qualifies you, good, lekker. A paard, het jy paard? Nie paard nie, okay, horse, okay, good. So, I just want to say the farmers are covered, that's by a finalist. Nog boere, daar. A sekuriteitswag, security. Lekker. Nog iemand? A teacher. Teachers are covered. Daar is nog a teacher. Oh, a teacher. A compliance manager. Wat ons doen jy? So ver klink jy die fancyste van ons allemaal. Hy is like, I am a compliance manager. Excuse me. Comply to what? Okay, she's like, comply to alles. Okay, we'll, compliance manager. Lekker, dit klink belangrik. Nog iets. A solograaf. Sonu. Solograaf is net as jy alleen daar werk. A sonograaf, dis, jy kyk vir waar babiekies is en of al die ander parte en alles werk. Ja, it's like you work at radiology, né? That's where your offices are. I have been sonographed as well. Nog iemand? A designer. Okay. Gee my nog 2, dan gaan ek ophou karring. Ek hoor niks hier van die medisyne af. The nurses. Okay. The nurses and they are very good with hammers this morning. I saw that as well. So they will fix you somehow. And there's doctors in the house as well. Lekker, nog iemand. Winemakers. The noblest trade in the Weskaap. A winemaker. Good. Lekker, okay, goed. Ek gaan nou by julle allemaal weer uitkom. So, I have quite a few scriptures here that I want to read. And the message is very simple. You will, there's no catch in this. Heinrich actually touched on it. I haven't watched that clip of his like in a month, so I forgot what it's all about actually in a sense. But he actually touched on what I want to say today as well. So I just want to speak a little bit about what is true godly service, true divine service, and how do we serve God in spirit and in truth. And first scripture that I have here is in Acts 17. And Acts 17 is, Paul finds himself in Athens, and the Greek philosophers, they were people who loved to philosophize. They loved to reason. They loved to receive knowledge and new information. So they were like sponges for gathering information. And obviously there's a lot of debates and you can imagine them, you know, just sitting in a group and bickering and quarreling and agreeing and just talking about a lot of stuff. And then Paul, he walks into Athens, and we find him here in verse 22. So Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. Okay, so maybe I just want to repeat what I think I've said that a couple of times. You remember, you know, when we talked about the early Christians, that first and foremost, they weren't called Christians. They were called a sect, and they were called the people of the way. And if people would ask them, what do you, or where do you worship? Remember, we talked about that some time ago, is where do you worship? Where's your temple? They would say, no, we don't have a temple. And they would ask, so who's your priests? You know, trying to figure out, how does what we are used to in the sense of worship align with your belief and your religion? And they would say, no, we don't have priests. We don't have an altar. We don't have what you would consider the normal, the fancy English word, the normal vestibules, you know, the stuff that you need for worship. And it would freak the people out. And they were actually in Rome, in the Roman country where they functioned, they were called atheists. The Christians were called atheists because they didn't adhere to the exact same framework. You couldn't put them in a box. That's what it came down to. And Paul says something about this here, where he says, the God who made the world and everything in it, being the Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man. And that verse 25 is the scripture that I want to highlight. Nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything. Okay. And the first point I want to talk about there is the misconception that we have of godly service or divine service. We many times find ourselves like this morning. What we're busy with is we're worshiping in religious observance. So observance is net as Afrikaanse woord daarvoor is nakom. Ons is besig om sekere vereistes wat die Here vir ons stel, sekere patrone wat hy vir ons stel, na te kom. And wat ek vanoggend, what I want to try and just bring over is, I read 2 weeks ago from Amos, those of you who were here. And Amos was written, the prophet of Amos wrote in the time of Israel when it went politically and economically very, very well with them. So the nation was under the impression that they blessed. But because of their blessedness, they moved away from the Lord. And they went into idol worship. And the prophet Isaiah, he says, he utters the same kind of rhetoric and words that Amos said. So there's a scripture in Isaiah 1 verse 13 to 14 where it says, bring no more vain offerings. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath and the calling of convocations. I cannot endure iniquity and solemn assembly. Your new moons and your appointed feast my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. And Amos 5 verse 21 to 24, we actually, I think we read it in our small group as well, that whole portion. I hate, I despise your feasts, but let justice roll down like waters. And we have to understand that what we're doing this morning is, God is very pleased with what's happening here. Okay. But his pleasantness is determined by the condition of our hearts. And that I've said a couple of times as well, and I preach it to myself all the time. When we fall into the trap of ritual and habit and tradition, and we call that worship, but our hearts are not focused on our Lord, then we are in trouble. Then we are on that slippery slope of, listen, we're just going through the motions. And if we don't stop the slide at some time, we end up in idolatry. It's as if our idols just grow as we go down this slippery slide. And that's why God would constantly intervene in our lives. And he would warn us. And he would say, listen, check your hearts. I just want to say this as well. It's not off topic, but it fits in as well. So last week, Werner was here. And sometimes you guys don't get the feedback that we receive. And he sent me two voice notes after church. And, you know, like a pastor, if somebody was at your house, you're always like, okay. How's this feedback going to be? And it was just amazing. So he just said he enjoyed the church so much. He said there was faith in the house. He experienced faith. It was so nice for him to see the love that is between amongst the people, the way that you guys just mingle and care with one another. He loved the worship. He loved the interaction. I don't know what happened here exactly. So for those of you who was here, it's always good for a pastor, obviously, to hear that. But this is us, iemand jou kinders seker kom oppas het. You know, you had a babysitter at home, and then you get home from wherever you were, and they say, good report. That was good, you know. So I just want to commend you guys and say thank you. Thank you for that as well. So we were at Hermanus, and I'm coming back to Worcester as well. Love Hermanus, but just having an appreciation for a smaller church as well. I think they are like 700 or 800 people. So it's massive. And the whole time I'm asking myself as I try to preach through this eye and figuring stuff out through this eye, how do you build community and love in a big church? You know, how do you create connection and fellowship? And you obviously do it through the small groups. You obviously do it through breaking it up and making sure there's district leaders and people who's connecting with one another. But even within that, your heart's condition still determine how, I don't want to say I'm not looking for effectivity, but for a lack of better English words, how effective is your connection with one another? So it's always about the heart. If our hearts become hardened, we struggle to connect with one another. And for me, the purpose of worship like we're doing today is to check our hearts. Is to ask yourself, am I connecting with God? Because if I struggle to connect with God, I'm going to struggle to connect with people. If I neglect worship, I'm not saying if you neglect Sundays services, I'm saying if you neglect worship, you're going to start to experience that your heart towards people grow cold as well. So just continuing on the misconception of what is divine service and what is worship and how does it all fit in? And remember I asked you, what do you do for a living? And some of you already know where we're going with that. True service is not about satisfying God's needs. We sometimes think when we come to worship, we are doing God a favor. And that is what Paul is saying in Acts 17. He says, God is not served by human hands as though he needed anything. He doesn't need anything. Psalm 50, verse 12 to 13 says the following. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world and its fullness are mine. That's the Lord speaking. Do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? In other words, he's saying, listen, all these blood sacrifices that you bring me, Old Testament, do I need that? Do I look hungry? You know, is that why I require that? Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and perform your vows to the Most High and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. There's something that I want you to just to see this morning. It's this simple theme through the Word of God where he would rebuke his people and there would always be an invitation. He would be hard with them, but he would never write them off. He'd always say, listen, come to me so that you have fellowship with me so that we can fix what's going on in your life and in your heart. So you need a hard rebuke, but there's always this invitation. I find myself as a parent sometimes struggling with that. That on the one hand, I want to discipline my kids. You know, specifically, I can pick on you bad because he's not here now and he needs the most discipline at the moment. But you know you have to be hard on him because he doesn't take responsibility for stuff. You have to, by repetition, and praise God I'm married to Alida because she's very good with that. She will drill life into you until you get it. She's struggling with me a little bit. But you know how it is. You want to discipline, so you have to be hard, but then on the other hand, you want to have the open hand. You want that child to know, I love you, and you are so welcome to come back to me. My discipline shouldn't push you away. My discipline should correct you and should draw you closer. And sometimes we're feeble with that. We're just lump with it. But God is not. His discipline is perfect. Perfect, perfect discipline. So when he speaks hard, like in the Old Testament many times, and sometimes in the New Testament as well, he speaks hard words, very hard words. But at the same time, that hard words isn't mixed with love. It is perfect love. Eh? It boggles our minds because we're either too hard or too soft. But he does it perfectly. And I want you to see that this morning as well. True service is not about satisfying God's needs. He has none. But about aligning our lives with his will in a tangible, a tasbara, living way. Right? So many times we think we have to come and do God a favor. And he's like, no, 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 no. I want your hearts to be made full. So this morning, I'm calling for more worship. I'm calling for times of more worship. But the moment I'm saying I'm calling for times of more worship, what we in the contemporary church thinks is, oh, we should organize more meetings with guitars and keyboards and singers. And the worship band goes like, oh my goodness, more worship. Oh, okay, I'll see if I have. And that's what I'm talking about this morning. And that's the correction that we have to make in the church. Is that worship and service to God it's not always the same thing. It's not the same thing. Okay. Serving God through obedience and love, joining God in his mission of love and restoration. And Heinrich mentioned something of that. He said there's the times that we come together where we are touched and we are encouraged by one another, and we are touched and we are encouraged by the Spirit and the presence of God, and then we are sent out. The danger that I think all of us have seen in the modern church is that we want to stay, in a sense, in God's presence, and we always want to have that feeling of, oh, I'm safe, and I'm encouraged again, but we don't go. We don't respond on the call of being sent. So we find ourselves in the modern church that when we talk about worship and service, that it many times it lingers around sets of musical expression. And right there, we're going to miss the plot. If we don't understand that God says, I want you to have more times in my presence, and I will never leave you and forsake you. But I have not called my church to feel good about themselves all the time. I have not called my church to just feel safe and secure. I have called my church to carry my cross with me. Like, was it Simon van Cyrene, Simon of Cyrene? He's an example to us of carrying a part of the cross of Jesus. And the cross of Jesus that we carry is to be obedient to the call to carry his mission and his message into the world. And there's, in my life, it's as if I always try to get this balance right, and don't like the word balance, like the word rhythm more. This rhythm of going to the mountain, proverbially speaking, spending time with the Lord, being touched in my heart, being encouraged through word and spirit, either on my own or with my brothers and sisters, and then go back into the valley. And the things that you screamed out, that's your valley. That's what you do. That's your valley. That's where you are the sent ones. That's where you go, and that is your mission field. And this morning, I'm not fighting, because I many times struggle to get from the mountain, because it's very nice on the mountain. When you're on the mountain, you have objective view. I don't know if you guys have experienced that. Life's really tough. But the moment you get height and you look down on things, you're like, oh, my problems really seem smaller. And that's exactly what he's supposed to do. God is your mountaintop. God is your place where he helps you to get perspective again. Where he helps you to see, listen, yes, life is tough there in the valley. There's a war going on for a lot of stuff there. There's economics, politics, there's relational stuff. There's in yourself, midlife crisis, and whatever you're going through. There's marital issues, there's children issue, whatever. But here's the perspective. If you're with me, okay, I want you to see, you know, that everything is possible. And I want you to understand that as we're going down this mountain now, I'm not staying on the mountain. I have poured out my spirit. I'm sending you, but I'm going with you. And we are actually then partnering with the Lord and walking into our valleys to bring about the change that he called us to bring. So it's very, very, very simple, the message I want to bring over this morning. Okay, so I wrote down here as well, communion is not the same as service. Before we serve, we must abide. John 15, verse 4 to 5 says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. Okay, so before we serve, we must abide. Communion with God is relational. It is about being with him, not just doing for him. So when we are driven by a religious spirit is nothing else than a slave driver. It's the taskmasters of this world. A religious spirit drives you and say you must do out there in the world. And when you come to church, you must do as well. Okay? And I sometimes communicate the religious spirit. Sorry, that word. And you do as well. You know? We struggle with that many times. And that's why God comes and he says, No. I'm not the God of religion, I'm the God of relationship. And primarily the relationship starts with me. If you abide in me, you can bear a lot of fruit. So don't try to do stuff when you feel guilty or you feel, listen, I'm not getting stuff right in life. He says, No. When you do not get stuff right in life, you come to me. You have to abide with me. It starts in a place of intimacy. I'm calling you into my heart, into my bosom. But I think, you know, our personalities many times just wants us to stay in that place, and then we forget about the mission that he has for us. Okay. So an illustration that I might want to use as well is fathers and mothers, you would know this. You know, when a child is little and you put them on your lap, you know, or they come and sit at your feet or whatever, that is the place where you nurture. That's the place where you make them feel safe. And that's the place where they really feel safe. And that's the place where they experience your heart and your presence. And that's the place where you feed them. That's the place where you speak encouragement into their lives. But they are actually, for the mission that you might have in life, a bit useless if they stay there on your lap. Do you agree with me? You can't keep them on your lap all the time. You have to grow them up and move them out. I love that philosophy for parenting. Okay? And a lot of us have made fun about that, jokes about that. If you find yourself as a parent in that position, I really feel sorry for you. But you know the basement teenager or the basement child? He moved into the basement and he is like 35 and Mama maakt nog steeds kos voor. And daddy still has to like pay his intuitions and whatever. He hasn't grown up to move out. That's a problem. You agree with me? Okay? So obviously there's moments of, hey, you're welcome in our basement to come and hang here for a while because you're going through a tough time. But that's not supposed to be the norm. Mom and dad must do their mission as well. And that's the idea that I want to bring over this morning is, we are not slaves, we are sons. Galatians 4, 6 to 7. You are sons now. But a mature adult believer understands that I enjoy the presence of God. And in a sense, I never leave the presence of God. But I also enjoy the mission of God. I also enjoy the fact that I'm sent out. And I ask myself, as believers and churchgoers, do we actually enjoy the mission of God? Or do we just enjoy times of fellowship, singing a song or two or three or four, and then we go again? Because I love those stuff that people say, ask yourself, how much time do you spend at your vocation, at your work, at what you do? How much time do you spend there? And that is probably 99% or more than 90% of your time you spend at your work. And if you cannot find joy in that place, there's a problem. There's a challenge. Because God wants you to be fulfilled in what you do. And God wants you to experience how it feels to partner with Him in what you do. Whether it be in compliance officering stuff, farming, sonogramming, medicine, nurses, teachers. There's tough times being a mom and a dad. But God wants you to know He is with you in that. And that is true service. That is service unto God. So we are not just doing stuff to God. We have to do stuff for Him as well when we partner with Him. It's eenvoudig, né? We know this message, the Great Commission. And yet there is this great divide between the sacred and the secular. Where people would say, listen, I am full-time in the ministry because I'm a pastor. But you are not full-time in the ministry because you are the saints. And that's absolutely a lie. When you said, Jesus Christ, I invite you into my life and I give my whole life to you, you entered into full-time ministry. What you do full-time. And my heart is that each one of us will daily discover how that brings glory to God. How being a farmer, how being a teacher, how being whatever you do, you can stand up in the morning and say, I don't have to feel guilty in what I'm doing as a job. I am bringing glory to God. And obviously, we want our lights to shine where we are so that we can make people hungry for the word, hungry for the truth, and make them invitational. The other day, I did the opening at the school. And I don't know if I told you guys this. So I do the opening and then I go away again. And then I'm sitting with this conundrum in my head. I'm like, there's a lot of Muslim kids in the school. There's a lot of, there's actually a lot of atheist kids in the school. There's a lot of woke kids in the school. There's a lot of kids in the school who struggle with their gender identity. In our Platalandse dorpies, they are there. And then I went like, but there's a lot of Christians there as well. And I was like, why do I think that way? Because I'm asking myself, how can I reach? So I've always been asking myself, how can I reach the not Christian group? And the more you get to know kids and you get to do with them, you realize they are Christian in label, but they are not Christian in heart. So this is my trick that I have up my sleeve next time. I want to go, and when I do the opening, I want to say today, the issue here is not that you have Christians versus Muslims, or Christians versus atheists. The issue here is that you have Christians, Muslims, atheists, and whatever ideology you want to associate with, versus Jesus Christ. Boom. That is the challenge that we have. You sitting here, did you bow your knee to Jesus Christ yet? Have you asked the questions about Jesus Christ yet? You as Christian child, jy, graad, van nie wys vir die kind nie, maar dis, hier's my boelies weer. Jy, graad 11 en graad 9. Did you bow your knee to Jesus Christ? You don't have to answer now. Because you're growing up in the house of a pastor, it means zero. As a parental, they have the privilege to be under the word and serving the church. And that helps. That helps culturally. But personally, they must each one come to a place and say, I'm going to decide to follow the person of Jesus Christ or not. That's the challenge. Not are you labeled as a Christian. Because in this town, 90% of people, probably, if you ask them, will say, I am Christian. But they don't carry the fruit. And that's why I'm saying your places of work are your mission field. That is the places where we can challenge and we can say, listen, do you have Jesus Christ in your life? And I have to ask myself, when I step out into work, do I step into work with the Lord Jesus Christ? Is my prayer humble and aligned and full of thanksgiving before I go into the, excuse Elsa, let ek nou weer die veterinarians, before you go into the veterinarian, what did you learn? Shop, no, practice. You learned ook a practice. Before you go into the practice, Lord, what I wanted to do today is, I want to fix as many cats and dogs and budgies and cows and stuff as I can. But Lord, I want to shine the light of Jesus Christ as well. Help me with that, because I can't do it on my own. I need the Holy Spirit in me. And my question this morning is that still your prayer? Because personally, I many times just go through a day or a week and then I'm like, I think this will just work out because I'm a Christian. But God is now, sometimes I want you to come with me with the stuff and the people and the things on your heart that is really, really troubling and challenging. Because I want to encourage you in that. Tanya, I want to encourage you in your class with kids that is difficult and that you don't have breakthrough with them and you want to throw them with the board borsel if you still use that in the... I want you to know every day I'm with you there. I want you as a housewife, I want you as a farmer to know with difficult labor stuff or nature stuff or whatever, I love you. I love you even though in the natural it doesn't seem that things work out. Brad, I want you to know that when you are in the municipality working with people, I'm with you. I'm there with you. I love what you're doing. I love what you're doing. But let us not confuse that, everybody gets along and it's fine. And God wants us to let our light shine. Ek gaan begin klaarmaak. Julle hoor wat ek wil sê vanoggend, nê? Ek dink as ek in 'n loop gaan en myself begin herhaal, dan mis ek dit. Ek het nog baie skrif. Kom ek kies die bestes. Okay, kom ons sluit hiermee af. Matthew 25 verse 40. Very interesting. So, I prepared and then this morning, I don't know if you guys saw the YouVersion. Yeah. And I'm like, Matthew 25 verse 40. Good, I must bring that into the sermon. It was in the sermon already, but Okay, so I want you just to see Matthew 25:40, and then I want you to see Revelations 3. So it's a long sticky. Kan met dit begin klaar maak. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. Before Him will be gathered all the nations, and He will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, and He will place the sheep on His right, but the goats on His left. Then the King will say to those on His right, come you who are blessed by My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave Me food. I was thirsty and you gave Me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed Me. I was naked and you clothed Me. I was sick and you visited Me. I was in prison and you came to Me. Then the righteous will answer Him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothed you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the King will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these My brothers, you did it to Me. Okay. And then the, what do you call it? The atmosphere, in a sense, shifts. It's like, becomes cringy, becomes uncomfortable. Then He will say to those on His left, depart from Me, you cursed, into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave Me no food. I was thirsty and you gave Me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome Me. Naked and you did not clothe Me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit Me. Then they also will answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison, and did not minister to you? Then He will answer them, saying, truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to Me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. James 1:27 says, pure religion is to visit orphans and widows. When I read these scriptures, I often, there's a guilt that takes hold of me. I don't know if I'm the only one. I'm like, am I doing enough? Am I visiting, you know, the list here? Am I doing enough? And if you end up there in that place of guilt and shame and like, oh no, I'm never doing enough, that's not useful either. Because then you fall into the works category. Then you're going to like, oh, I'm going to set up a list, and then I'm like, okay, this week at least 3 orphans and 4 widows, just for my conscience. But now I want you to see Revelation 3. It starts off same rebuke thingy. Verse 14. And to the angel of the church in Laodicea write the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. I know your works. I know your works. They're working. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of My mouth, for you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from Me gold refined by fire, so that you may be rich, and white garments, so that you may clothe yourselves, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and sulfis, to anoint your eyes, so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline, so be zealous and repent. Okay? The thing that stands out for me here is God is rebuking the fact that they think they're okay. Do you hear that? He's like, the problem here is you think you're okay, but you're not. That's the challenge here. You think your hearts are okay. But if you think your hearts is okay, you will not repent. That's our challenge. If I think I'm doing enough, then I'm not going to say, Lord, help me to be obedient in what You want me to be, because I think I'm doing enough. I have my own plans going. But now listen to this, verse 20. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears My voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with Me. That makes all the difference for me. He said, God says, listen, once you come to a place where you realize, listen, maybe I'm not doing enough, or maybe I'm not okay, He's not leaving you alone. He's not saying, listen, I rebuke you and you're on your own. He's saying, I'm knocking on the door and all I'm asking is you to say, Lord, come in and come and help me. He's just crying out for humility. This is the same talk that is in Amos and in Isaiah. The same heart, the same God that's saying, listen, just return to me. Come to me that you may live. That's what I'm crying out for you. Come to my mountain, come to my bosom. And when we have talked, once we have talked, I'm going to give you your marching orders and you're going to walk in obedience. And not as a slave, but as a son. Amen? So, your workplace is the temple of God. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. Romans 12:1 says, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Your bodies now are the place where the sacrifice takes place. And where do you take your body? Wherever you go. So everything that you do is an opportunity to serve God and to bring Him glory. Okay, so you have sacred spaces that is beyond the church, the shop, the office, your home, the classroom. That's all places of worship where Jesus can be enthroned. So whether you sit at your desk or whether you're sitting in church, He can be enthroned. And then the last thing that I just want to bring out is 2 Corinthians 6, verse 16, which says, what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, as God said, I will make my dwelling among you, among them, and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, go out from the midst and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. Then I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. You can just check out John 14, verse 23 as well. That the indwelling Spirit of God is what makes the difference in our lives. Let's stand.
This morning when we prayed together as a worship team, I shared something with them that really spoke to my heart. I spoke to a friend earlier this week, and she and her husband went through a very rough patch for 15 years, actually. And I started to do some counseling, but in this counseling, the focus is connection. And I realized many times we think counseling should be something like sorting out each other's problems and faults and pointing out what are you lacking and what are you missing. And this morning I realized that's what sometimes happens with us and God as well. We forget about that connection and we rather want to sit in front of God and try to tick all the boxes and see what am I doing right and what am I doing wrong in my relationship with God. So yeah, I don't know what if you had an invitation, but I believe this morning just to get to that place, we will really find a place of connection with God and not just trying to go down the list.
Thanks, Tina. Let's close our eyes. Holy Spirit, we come to you this morning, Lord, as your children. And Lord, we want to thank you that we have the opportunities, Lord, daily to humble ourselves. And God, I want to pray, God, that in this day and in this week, Lord, that you will help us, Lord, to have an objective mountain view, Lord, into the places, Lord, that we occupy daily and weekly, the places that we work. Here at Uitblakke, waar ons die meeste van ons tyd spandeer. I want to pray, God, that you will bring people to our mind, Lord, friends, colleagues, Lord, people that we work with daily, Lord, but we've become, in a sense, maybe familiar with them, Lord. Familiar with their ways, and they've become familiar with us, Lord. And God, I don't know, we don't know what you want to do in their lives. We just know, God, that like Stina said now, you want to have relationship with them. And you want them, Lord, not to experience a religion. You don't want them to experience theology and ideology, Lord. You want them to experience the love of the Father. And I pray, Holy Spirit, Lord, that you will help us with that. Help us to look through the eyes of Christ, Lord, to the people that we work with. And Lord, come and touch our hearts and our minds, Lord, and where we have started to yoke, Lord, with the same thoughts of the flesh, the world, and the devil, we repent of that and we ask that you will deliver us from that. And we want to yoke, Lord, with the eyes and the mind and the heart, Lord, of Christ. And we want to look, Lord, not just with those eyes to ourselves, but also, Lord, to the people that we connect with daily. Even our wives, even our husbands, even our children. And we thank you, Jesus. We thank you that, Lord, that we have the power to serve you, Lord, through the needs of your children, Lord. That we have the power to serve you, Lord, through the needs of the people in the world that's still caught up in the snare of the devil, Lord. That's still walking in confusion. That every working day, Lord, from morning to night, we can serve you, Lord. And we pray, Father God, Lord, that our service will bring glory to your name, Lord, and that it will become like breathing. It's not something that we have to think out and plan, Lord. It just comes organically. It comes naturally to us, Lord, to love, to invite people with us into the kingdom. And this morning we ask you to help us with that, Lord. Ek wil vanoggend die uitnodiging maak dat soos wat ons nou afsluit met 'n laaste lied, dat as ek wil amper soos in sê, as enigiets wat ek gesê het geresoneer het in jou hart, dat jy net as 'n symbol of surrender net vorentoe dan kom. Sofie is net wenig saam met jou te bid nie, maar dat jy net hier kom staan en sê, Jesus Here, ek wil jou net kom innooi. In my plekke, in my werksplek of my huis, wat het voel of, is nie eers as dinge deur mekaar geraak het nie, dit is net, dit is afgeplat, afgestomp. It's just become mundane. It's just become lukewarm. And Jesus, I want you to come. And to come and turn the tables. Come and do in my life whatever is necessary so that you can be glorified. You guys are welcome to come to the front even now as we're just going to close. Thank you, Jesus. And if you're in a place and you're like, I have a heart for my school, I have a heart for my workplace, but I don't have the strategy, come to the front as well. Just come and stand here and just say, Lord, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know when. I just come and surrender. I just invite you in. I just need the indwelling Spirit of God, not just to get me to heaven one day, but to help me to get heaven in people's lives here on earth, even now. A taste of heaven. Jesus, we pray that you will help us, Lord. Thank you. Thank you that you minister to us now, Lord, that you minister to every heart and to every mind. Thank you, Jesus. Okay.
Desperate for you, desperate. I surrender. Down on my knees again, surrendering all, surrendering all. And find me here, the Lord, as you draw me near, desperate for you. Surrender, I want to know you more, I want to know you more, and I surrender, and I surrender. As mercy and grace unfold, hunger and thirst, hunger and thirst. Arms stretch wide, I know you hear my cry, speak to me now. Surrender, and I want to know you more, I want to know you more, and I surrender, I surrender. Like a rushing wind, Jesus, be with me. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way. Surrendering all. surrendering all. With arms stretched wide, I know you hear my cry. Speak to me now. Speak to me now.
Lord, we surrender our places of work and our places of play, our places of rest, our places of worship, our places of service, Lord. We surrender it to you. And Holy Spirit of God, we invite you, Lord, like a mighty rushing wind, Lord, like a mighty rushing stream, Lord, to flow your living waters, Lord, to these places, Lord, that we are surrendering this morning. And God, in faith, Lord, we saying, Lord, that we are looking forward to hear about the testimonies of when your mighty rushing wind, your presence, and your living waters, Lord, flowed, Lord, into these places. And brought about changes, Lord, that is far, far surpassing, Lord, our imaginations and our understandings. Come, Lord Jesus, be King of all the places in our lives. Speak with us, Lord. Speak with us in this day. Speak with us in this week. Speak with us, Lord, in this month. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your goodness. We surrender all. In Jesus' name. Amen.